guess the theme of the whole thing of this morning is Paul's amazing statement where he says in Philippians, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I wanted to come to this passage and explore, Paul, how did you come to this such an amazing focus and mindset? He says in verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Paul often starts his letters to churches with an update of what's happened to him and his circumstances. And he's saying here, I want you to know what has happened to me. And what has happened to Paul? Paul is actually now in prison, and he wants them to know that he's in prison. But it's amazing, actually, in this particular portion, in this letter to the Philippian church, that Paul doesn't go into much detail about what is experienced in prison. There's no self-pity here. There's no real detail about his experience of loneliness, probably, and poor food, and the threat of execution and the cramped conditions. He just wants them to know that what has happened to him has really served to advance the cause of Jesus Christ. I want to say something at this point, because what we're not saying is this, that it's that we can't be real about our pain, or we can't be real about our distress to our brothers and sisters. Because Paul, in another passage in 2 Corinthians, he says, I don't want you to be unaware of what we suffered in the province of Asia. We despaired even of our very lives, but this happened that we might not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So what we get from Paul, though, is an overarching preoccupation with Jesus and a preoccupation with the gospel and the maturity, joy, and progress of the church. These are his passions. And so Paul is saying, look, I'm in prison, but he has no sense of feeling dismissed by God. You know, sometimes we can go through circumstances and we can think, oh, God has forgotten me. He doesn't feel forgotten. He doesn't feel dismissed. And he doesn't even say he's under attack. I find that extraordinary. What has happened to me has served the gospel, but he makes no reference to the idea that he's under attack. But rather, Paul says, in this context of being in prison, I can see how the gospel has progressed. And he says that the prison guards have heard the gospel. He says that other believers have become more bold and courageous and confident and fearless in sharing the gospel because of his imprisonment. And even when other people, out of selfish ambition or for some reason motivated to share the gospel to cause Paul's imprisonment to be more painful, even then he says, I don't really mind if it's in they're sharing the gospel with a good attitude, a bad attitude for Christ or out of selfish ambition, just as long as Christ is exalted and communicated. Paul lives with a confident assurance in the sovereignty of God. He has this amazing perspective, a deep conviction. Everything in Paul's life, everything he experiences, is ultimately calculated to how does it glorify Jesus and how does it help the church and how does it bring Jesus magnification. Everything in his life is seen in the light of the finished work of Christ, the finished work of the cross. Paul lives with a confidence that says nothing can hinder, nothing can prevent, and nothing can slow down the advance of the gospel. So this is an incredible person who on one hand can say, you know what, I want you to know what we suffered in Asia. I want you to be aware of the reality that I'm in prison. But he has this mindset that says everything ultimately is about Jesus and everything ultimately is about the gospel going forward. And I want to briefly look at the question then, how can we be a church that has the same mindset as the Apostle Paul? I would say that each and every one of us has a deep desire to live free and in peace and in joy with great confidence. Paul shows us that the only way to live this way is to live for a person other than ourselves and for a cause that's greater than ourselves. That if we are to be a people who are a free people, then we are called to find our greatest delight first and primarily in Christ himself and in the purpose of Jesus in the earth. That Paul is a man of single passion. He is a man of single passion. He can be locked up, but even when he's locked up, he's still radically free. We can live with all the potential freedoms and yet in our minds feel that we're locked up in a maximum security prison. But Paul is free wherever you place him. He's free when he's visiting churches and going to regions beyond. And he's free even when he's locked up because he has a single passion. Paul is a single-minded man. He loves Jesus. He says to live is Christ. In other words, if I'm alive, it's for Christ. If I'm alive, it's going to be fruitful service. If I'm alive, I'm going to magnify Jesus in my body. He says in Philippians in these verses, there's no ifs, there's no buts. It's going to be fruitful. But he also says this radical thing that to die is gain. To live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, Paul, even in prison, has an experience of Jesus Christ that is radically satisfying. And even though he must wake up every day with the feeling of today could be my last day, I could be executed today, he's able to say to die is gain. In other words, if I die today, I'm going to be face to face with Jesus. If I die today, my intimacy with Jesus is going to be complete. If I die today, I'm going to be able to see him and walk with him and hear him. And my delight is and my joy is going to go to another level. In other words, Paul would say, you know, if I have a choice, I would prefer to die. So the first thing of freedom for a local church is exhortation through the scriptures to us is to be a people of single passion, to be a Jesus people, to be disciples of Jesus, to say we are a community who are growing in our love and our intimacy and our passion for Jesus Christ. But he also says, yet I'm happy to remain. I prefer to go, but I'm happy to remain. And this is the cause that is greater than himself. He is happy to remain for the sake of the church, for the sake of the Philippian believers in this context. He is happy to stay for their progress and for their joy. So Paul is a man who lives from the inside to the outside. What's going on inside is he's passionate about Jesus. He's gripped by Jesus. He loves Jesus. What comes into the outside is he lives for a cause that's greater than himself, which is the glory, the magnification, the exaltation of Jesus. And he wants to see Jesus glorified by serving the Philippian church. He says, everything I'm doing is actually for your joy, for your progress, for the development of your faith. So in these verses that we can read some more, he says in verse 19, he says, yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honoured in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me, which Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to be with Christ, and my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the body or remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. And so what we see in these verses is Paul's passion for Jesus just shines out. But also, he absolutely loves the church. He is passionate for these Philippians. He is passionate for this community. He loves this church and he loves this community. And so he says, actually, I will remain for your sake. What I love as well in these verses is this, is there is a powerful interaction between Paul loving and serving this church and this church loving and serving them. Because I want to say this, that Paul is an incredible believer. He is probably one of the greatest examples of a believer in the whole Bible and possibly in the whole of church history. But I want to say that Paul was not some superhuman being. He was an ordinary man who had, we remember the story, messed up really badly, got saved by Christ. He said himself, I was a murderer. He was there giving his approval to the murder of Stephen. And he was an ordinary man. And I want to unpack very briefly, so how did he have this capacity? I want to talk about, there's a wonderful interplay here between Paul serving the Philippian church and the Philippian church serving him. He says in verse 19, yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit, Jesus will turn this out for my deliverance. That Paul experiences a strengthening by the Holy Spirit himself in response to the prayers of the Philippian church. And commentators say that the supply of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit coming to Paul in prison, and the prayers of the church are linked. So as the Philippians prayed for Paul, as they would have prayed, Holy Spirit, strengthen him. Holy Spirit, give him everything he needs. Holy Spirit, give him the sufficiency of strength to endure this hardship. Paul is saying, I received the gift of the Holy Spirit himself. So that's one of the ways that this man is able to run the race, complete the race, do what Jesus has done. It's because of the prayers of the Philippian church. There's a sense in which Paul serves the church as well. He prays for the church and asks Jesus to do things in the church. He serves the church, but they also serve him. It says later on that Timothy visited Paul in prison and brought news of the Philippian church, and the news encouraged Paul. So he was strengthened as another human being came alongside and brought him good news. It also talks about Epaphroditus coming with a gift, financial gift, from the Philippian church to Paul, meeting some of his practical needs. And Paul is encouraged by Epaphroditus' friendship coming alongside him and supporting him. And so we see this wonderful dynamic of Paul, the servant of the church, Paul, the lover of Christ, but also Paul, the man who needs the prayers of a community, who needs the support of a community, who needs people to come alongside him. Ultimately, Paul is a man who had learned to trust and depend and lean upon Christ. He's an ordinary person. He talks about in Corinthians, he says, there was a thorn in my flesh that I'd asked God to remove multiple times. Many people have debated what that thorn in the flesh could be. It would seem that in the context, it would be things like shipwrecks and beatings and imprisonments and the burden of the church, lots of pressures on him. And it's almost like he's asking God, is there another way that's less painful than this? And he learned that God's grace is made perfect in weakness. "When I am weak, then I am strong," Paul said. He says in Galatians 2:20, "I live a life in the body." So he lives a life in the body, a life where sometimes he finds himself beaten, sometimes he finds himself rejected, sometimes he finds himself misunderstood, sometimes he found himself in lack and in pain. I live a life in the body by trust, by faith in Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. So when Paul goes through things to close, when he goes through injustice, when he went through imprisonment, when things don't go the way they should, this was Paul's mindset. When things don't go the way they should, God always makes them turn for good. And so Paul could look at things and say, I can see people sharing the gospel more boldly. I can see Christ progress, his cause progress. So what does that look like for us? It might look like there's been injustice at work. Maybe someone has spoken about you harshly and it was hard and difficult. There might be pain. But what you found is you learned to forgive and you learned to overlook an offence and you learned not to be bitter and you learned to let it go. And then other people look on and say, how come you've reacted so differently? How come you're not angry? How come you're not vengeful? How come you're not gossiping? And suddenly the gospel is moving forward. And so even though things are not going as they should, maybe in different circumstances, we should process them with God. We should say, I don't want you brothers and sisters to be unaware of what I'm suffering right now. Paul does that in 2 Corinthians. We should be aware of how we're feeling and be honest with one another about how we're feeling. God often speaks to us through our feelings. We can ask Holy Spirit, why am I grieving? Why am I anxious? Why am I worried? That the gospel isn't just there's facts and faith and then feelings are all the way back there. But at the same time, we can live for a higher cause than even our own comfort. We can say, I'm on earth for the glory of Jesus Christ, to live is Christ, to know him more, to find more joy and more pleasure and more satisfaction in Christ. And we can say there's a cause that's higher than us, and it's the cause of Jesus in the earth. And how are we going to serve the cause of Jesus in the earth? Well, one of them is we work in a way that's for the Lord. Or when we see the church, we say the gifts I carry, the calling I carry, the strength I carry is for the church. See, Paul, everything he had received from Christ, whether it was the gift of writing or preaching or proclaiming the gospel, was all seen for the good of the church, for the joy of the church, the strength of the church, the maturity of the church, that the church might be equipped with everything that it needs. And so everything in our life, when it talks about being worked together for good, is not merely our own individualistic good, our own individualistic maturity. It is actually that Christ might be exalted in us, that our pleasure in Christ might grow. So even right now, you might be suffering and going through things. You might be imprisoned by circumstances. Yeah, process those things with brothers and sisters, but also ask, Holy Spirit, how is my trust in Christ going to develop through this? How am I going to mature to love Jesus more through this? How are you going to progress the gospel through this? And maybe in your life, you might think, what am I on earth for? What is the purpose that I'm on earth for? Be like Paul and say, everything that I have is for the maturity of my brothers and sisters around me, that I have a contribution to make. And that contribution isn't just for my own personal appreciation. Ultimately, yeah, it's great when people appreciate me, but ultimately Christ appreciates me. Everything that you have, every gift that you have, whether you're able to do hospitality or you're an encourager or you prophesy or you're great at communicating or you come alongside and serve or in whatever way you serve, take what you have and think, this thing that I carry is for the advancement, for the advancement and the gain and the fruitfulness of these people. Paul says to die is Christ, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I will remain in the body for the sake of the Philippian community.